Hello and welcome. My name is Jennifer Ray from jenniferray.com. In today's interview, I'm speaking with T.S. Little. T.S. is a master teacher that combines many different wisdom traditions in order to create a yoga and meditation practice that encourages insight, deep understanding, and wisdom. T.S.'s background is extensive and varied, including study in classical yoga, Sanskrit, Buddhist studies, anatomy, massage, and trauma healing. T.S. is also a licensed massage therapist, and his somatic studies include in-depth training in cranial sacral therapy. I'm really excited to be speaking with T.S. today, and we're going to just touch on his personal path and some ideas or thoughts that he has for those people that are just beginning on their yoga journey, and also some thoughts that he'd like to share about what it's like to be a teacher in the modern day. I hope you enjoy.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started with yoga and practice and what that path has been all about.
You know, I started yoga originally studying Iyengar yoga, and because my mother was trained in London in the late 70s, and so my mother was also a therapist, so I've been able to really be influenced by her and bring a lot of sensitivities in that way towards the yoga practice. So I come at the practice not only from the body perspective, but also working with the mind and the heart and the emotions. And so a lot of my work now is focused around what I call the subtle body. I think a lot of workout routines and treadmill routines and going for a run is really working on the physical sheath or the outer body. And in order to really affect change, it's important to really touch the innermost body that involves the chakras and the nerves and the glands. So a lot of my focus now is on the subtle body.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I really enjoy practicing with you, because there is that sort of integration of the more subtle aspects of the yoga practice. I also really enjoy how you bring in a lot of the sort of Buddhist and mindfulness meditation practices. Maybe you could speak a little bit to that, how that sort of came in for you.
Yeah, I've been influenced a lot by various Buddhist traditions, one being the Tibetan practice, and then also Zen training, and yoga, of course. And the meditation experience just lies really at the heart of yogic training. A lot of yoga students end up kind of hopscotching over that in their vinyasa, and you can't jump over that part, because you know that's where we can really start to notice how we feel about ourselves, or what our fears are, or how we're getting caught up in our flow of our email conversations and the various texts that consume us. And so the experience of mindfulness or meditation really is a way of bringing us back home towards our interior.
So how would you say then, for maybe a newer yoga student who wants to start integrating some of this awareness around the subtle body and maybe integrating more meditation into their practice, how do you think they could go about that?
Well, I think going slowly is important. I think that, you know, globally that everything keeps speeding up more and more and more, like one of those, you know, that film Kayanaskwatsi, where you just see everything swirling, and the kind of swirl is not only outside of us but inside of us. And so working with a swirl is really important. And so, you know, slowing down and deepening our connection to the poses and the support from the poses, and also shavasana and sitting practice really supports the gateway, you know, us to go, move through the gate inside. And so I suggest for people to begin that process tomorrow. If they wait for 10 years, then it is just delaying. So really, that inner work is so important.
Yeah, there can be a tendency to think, I think maybe you were speaking about this today a little bit, once I get everything sorted and everything's perfect, then I'll move to the meditation, or then I'll have time. And mm-hmm. of course, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people have a hard time being alone. And I mean, just being alone in a quiet, contemplative place really helps support this touching in with their own inner essence, however one might want to describe that. And so, I mean, I really value yoga as a contemplative practice mm-hmm. rather than, you know, what I, you know, call like spiritual calisthenics, which is mainly just, you know, kind of a flowing type thing. So really, if we can really develop that sensitivity, mm-hmm. And it begins at home, begins within ourselves and for ourselves. And then from there, we extend generously that, you know, sensitivity out to sure. all beings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I also liked what you said around when you do finally take that space or those pauses throughout the day even, that then suddenly there's a lot of content usually there to kind of process. So that's a part of the work then, is to kind of be with that content. Eventually, maybe some more space starts to open up.
Yeah. Sometimes people think that, at least in when they're in a meditation, that there shouldn't be any thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, totally unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Expectation that'd be like, you know, being an Olympic pole vaulter the first day, being able to get over the bar. And so, you know, so much of what we do is just work with whatever's arising, whether it's, you know, expectation or fear or our self, how we feel about ourself, mm-hmm. or self-esteem. So that part is so important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think especially within our culture, and like you said, the busyness, you know, just the amount of stimulation that we're encountering all of the time.
Yeah, we designed a bumper sticker recently called Dare to Go Slow. Uh-huh. And, you know, slowing down is something we have to put into practice.
Yeah.
And it's not just physically perhaps moving more slowly, but slowing down the whir, you know, the rotor blades of our mind. and when we can do that, that's when we begin to really heal. Mm-hmm. Because we can sleep better, our digestion works better, mm-hmm. our heart rate slows down or levels out, and systemically we begin to heal. Spiritually, it's certainly through all the contemplative traditions, whether it's Christian mystic or Buddhist monks in the Himalayan plateau, is that time of slowing down, connecting interior, is how we, you know, connect to our own divine channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have, people just have to do it.
Yeah. For the healing of the planet too, not only our own healing, I think.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So we can stop outgassing. And so by slowing down and really feeling within, you know, I teach the poses in a slower way so people can breathe and be supported, and so that really helps people start, you know, to what's called in Zen tradition, turn their lantern of awareness back mm-hmm. inside. So I guess we could think of this as being selfish, but it's being self-oriented in a really positive way.
Yeah. So then you can positively impact what is external from you, you know, outside of you, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so we can create positive change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so working at home in our interior is really important. Not long ago, I did a whole talk on introversion and the power of aloneness. I think that talk was really helpful for how important it is to cultivate our inwardness
mm-hmm.
in a culture, including the yoga culture, that's so outward mm-hmm. and big energy and splashy and outwardly beautiful. To really cultivate this connection to our interior is so important, and just to see, find out what's there, and that's really where the practice begins.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that then. So for definitely some viewers that will be watching are yoga teachers, and for myself as well, I teach yoga. And for me, I was saying to you before we started filming just that it's a contemplation for me how to be a yoga teacher in the culture that we live in, and how to stay in integrity, and what we're even doing as yoga teachers in this culture. There's a lot of sort of confusion. And
well, I think, you know, so much of yoga has been influenced by aerobics and, you know, a lot of sort of more athletic type fitness-based practice. And yoga, you know, while it's really good for the body, it's not simply limited to the fitness part. So mm-hmm. The contemplative, I think that's probably the best word, the contemplative awareness is really where we begin to resource our innermost wisdom and our guides and the depth of the love inside. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, I think, you know, the power-based yogas are so popular, you know, sort of like Coca-Cola, that's what's going to give the jolt. Mm-hmm. And maybe people, you know, they start with the jolt, and then after a time, they start to seep inward, kind of like, you know, rain, at least in New Mexico where I live, when the rains come, it seeps into the ground slowly. Mm. And so it might take a little while, but if people can understand that inward seeping, how important that is, and then you can directly practice that inward seeping, it's fantastic.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's great. And definitely also just, you know, focusing on the body to begin, really, like even just a more gross physical sensation, and then moving to subtler and subtler aspects. I think that just naturally happens. And so then, of course, the attention turning inward, that's going to happen as well, into sort of deeper and deeper layers.
Yes.
So that's sort of how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, we start with, you know, this kind of the muscular skeletal system, mm-hmm. and, you know, chaturangas and lots of, you know, really strong handstand type practices, mm-hmm. perhaps, and then in the subtle body training, having that capacity to perceive inside, mm-hmm. Which I think the neurologists call it interoception, mm-hmm. the capacity to witness what's happening inside is such a valuable skill to learn. If only everyone could be more reflective, mm-hmm. But our educational system, oftentimes from third grade up, we're thinking about moving outward and getting the grade, mm-hmm. and not really turning that lantern back inside. Mm-hmm. So if yoga teachers can really support people in that connection inside, I think that people will, you know, will be able to feel more, mm-hmm. on lots of levels. Mm-hmm. The spectrum of feeling becomes much broader.
Mm. Okay, so what is inspiring you lately? What is something that you're excited about or inspiring in your own practice or in your teaching? Or?
Well, this day I do a lot with dreams, because it's when we sleep, there's just content that gets brought up, mm-hmm. that you know, in the daytime, in the waking world, we don't get a chance to see. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after being a yogi for 25 years, and now I just keep, you know, that really it's a downward descent into the depth of the psyche. Mm-hmm. And the dreams will show us where our fears are, where our hopes are, what our insecurities are, where our shame is. And so the dream time is a really fertile place for exploration, and people love dreams. I do sometimes dream talks in groups of 70 people, and nobody walks out. Everybody's like, wow, you know, dreams kind of relate to the mystical side of life. And people need to connect to the mystical side. It's in the world of our cellular devices and the various pressures to run a family and keep our life together, it's so important to connect to that. And dreams are a safe way, in a sort of shamanic way, to connect to that's depth of the psyche.
Mm, that's really interesting. Yeah. Do you keep a journal or something in the morning when you wake up?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to write dreams down. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a tracker on the land. Then you start tracking mm-hmm. That inner content. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jung, of course, did a lot with this, and Freud, and many contemporary transpersonal psychologists do a lot with this dream realm, mm-hmm. but so did the yogis.
Mm-hmm.
Yogis have worked with dreams for a long time.
Mm, interesting. Great.
Yeah.
Are you offering any trainings or workshops coming up with kind of dream stuff?
I'm doing a course in Esalen in January in California that is a combination of Zen training and yoga.
Okay.
And I think there'll be some dream work there.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, any other trainings or programs that you're excited about that you want to?
Well, yeah. I mean, in my home base is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we do so many programs there on the subtle body, mm-hmm. and working with the slow practices that really help guide people into their interior. So I would say any of the programs we offer in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
This next year we're doing a course that's on the art of self-practice,
mm-hmm.
and especially for yoga teachers, it's important to have a practice at home,
mm-hmm.
That they can do on their own. And that becomes the resource for teaching.
Sure.
So a lot of teachers start teaching and they don't really have a home practice. So we do a whole week long called The Art of Self-Practice.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you'd like to learn more about T.S. Little, be sure to visit him over at prajnayoga.net. You can also sign up for my mailing list over at jenniferray.com. Ray is spelled R-A-Y-E. I hope to see you next time. And have a wonderful day.